We're live.
Community is what fills the gap between sales and service. Far too many companies still only talk to their customers when they're selling to them or when something goes wrong. Sales, service. But between those two things, there's this big gap, which we can refer to as everything else. And if you're not in that gap, that's risky because you're vulnerable to other companies coming in and treating your customers better than you do, listening to them, empowering them, helping them better than you do. And that's why community, real community work, community building, community management, not just general social media, marketing, and participation, is so important to business right now, and it'll only continue to get more important as time goes by. I'm Patrick O'Keefe, and the Dragcast starts now.
From the bowels of WordPress Nation, it's
time it is.
All operators are busy at this time. Please hold.
Drag.
For the Dragcast. Here to talk WordPress news, events, and fizzy pop with community leaders.
Ultimately letting smarter people run the show weekly.
We bring you your favorite Santan alumnus, Brad Williams and Dre Armada. Sit back, folks, grab something to sip on, and get ready to press on. The Dragcast starts now.
We are back with an extra special episode of the Dragcast number 62. Dre, what is up, my man?
Six deuces, baby, in the house. How we doing?
We're doing, man. We had a little technical issue, but if you're not watching us live, just assume that everything's going just like you would expect, just like normal. So, but we worked through it. I'm really excited for the show. Got an old friend back on. We'll introduce here in just a second. What's new, Dre? It's been a week. A lot going on. Pretty busy over there. How's the weather?
Yeah, man. It's been a great week. A lot going on. A lot going on at work. A lot going on in the evenings. Not enough training. I mean, it's the typical running around thing. So just getting into routine.
Very cool. Very cool.
How about you?
I'm loving it, man. It's October. It's my favorite month of the year. The leaves are changing. The breeze is nice and cool outside. I'm wearing hoodies and sweatshirts and sweatpants again. So, you know, my formal work attire. So life is good. So let's get to it because we got a really special guest on back for a second round on the Dragcast. Amazingly, people actually come back to host this show a second time. We have the foremost expert on online communities and my old friend, my good friend, Mr. Patrick O'Keefe. Patrick, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Brad. Dre, it's great to be back. This is probably one of my favorite shows to be a guest on, and I'm sure everyone says that, but I mean it.
Nobody says that. Yeah, to every show you go on, you say.
No, I don't say that. I promise. Go back and listen. You know, put 2 weeks aside and listen to every podcast ever done. Waste your life away, and you'll see.
Oh, man.
I think that's the first person that's ever said that to us, so that's great to hear. Thanks, Patrick.
We've got one fan, folks. This is awesome.
And he's going to host from here on out. So we're definitely glad to have you back on. One of the reasons we love to have you on the show is you bring a unique perspective because you're not a typical WordPress junkie like Dre and myself and a lot of our other hosts. You're kind of outside that bubble, which I love because you'll be quick to smack us back down in our place when we're doing a little bit too much Ryan for WordPress. So it's always fun to get an outside perspective that doesn't just live and breathe WordPress every day on this show. So I'm excited to get in some meaty topics today. But before we do that, gentlemen, I would like to know what you are sipping on.
Hey, what you sipping on?
Ooh, that makes me thirsty just listening to that, man.
Makes you want to shake for some reason.
I know, I'm like, hey. So what are you guys sipping on? What's going on, Patrick? What you sipping on over there, big guy?
So I drink a lot of flavored seltzer now. And, okay. You know, you may remember I used to do a soda show. I don't really drink soda much anymore. But I drink the seltzer and the kind with no sweeteners and nothing artificial in it, just water, natural flavors. And this is one I really like, LaCroix Cherry Lime. And totally healthy, but it tastes good. I like it. So that's what I'm drinking tonight.
So is this a new spinoff? Are we going to see a new podcast?
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. I've thought of it. I've thought about pivoting the channel into seltzer because you'd be surprised whether there's a lot of flavors out there, and I love trying them, but no immediate plans. I just drink it for my own enjoyment.
Nothing wrong with that either. I drink a lot of things for my enjoyment, and it's all bad, nothing healthy. Bradford, what are you sipping on over there, brother?
I've actually had that, Patrick, and it's really good stuff. I enjoy that, too. Cool. But tonight, I'm actually sipping on a nice beer. And it is the season. It's Halloween time, right? So I got to have the pumpkin. I got the Pumpkin Southern Tier. If you like pumpkin beers, this is a really good one. Not too heavy. Not too light. Maybe I should do like a beer podcast. That might be the way to go. Definitely warm me up on a chilly night, though, for sure. So, Andre, what do you have over there, my friend?
I'm still stuck on beer podcast. Can you explain how this works to me? That sounds awesome.
If you take our show and you remove WordPress, and then that's kind of a beer podcast.
Yeah,
right?
That's kind of it. Well, one day I'll be 46. This maker's is already there. A little red wax on the top. I'm going to be sipping on that tonight. Salute.
Cheers, gentlemen.
Until that's empty.
Yeah.
Forget the clock.
We'll not stop until that bottle is empty, Dre, so get on it.
Wow. Yeah, here we go. I'm going to try to pull a Chuck Reynolds. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
It's going to hurt, but, you know.
Oh, man. So let's get into it. So, Patrick, we had you back on the show, and we went through the archives and looked, and I was a little bit surprised by how long ago it had been. It was actually May of last year, so well over a year ago. We had you episode 14. Is that correct? I think we had you on the first
yes,
time.
Yes, sir. Suckling the teeth. That was the title of the episode. So no one.
Suckling best name shows ever.
Yeah.
Every time you explain to somebody, you have to say it's safe for work, right? So yeah. always a great show title. But we'll go with something maybe a little less racy this time. But
sure.
So even though it's only slightly over a year since the last time, a lot has changed in your life. And in fact, you had a lot going on. A lot of projects, a lot of websites. You still have quite a few. But you recently made kind of a change. I think it's pretty interesting. I think there's a lot to be learned from it. So I'd love to kind of get into it. You had a post called I'm Hungry for Change. And you kind of laid out what you're doing and what your plans are. So maybe you can kind of just talk through and tell us, like, you know, what happened to kind of bring on this change? And then maybe talk a little bit about, you know, the change that you were looking for and kind of are actively into now.
Sure. So flashback to a year, even a couple years ago, and you know, I was doing numerous podcasts, numerous shows. I run a network of websites. That network of sites had many sites. You know, a few years ago, it was up to 20 or so. And you know, I was doing all those things. I was also speaking at conferences and events and writing when I could. And you know, with all those things going on, all these projects I'm committed to, I was just really spread out. And I was maintaining it and doing it okay. But then I was thinking about the future, and I'm getting older, and what do I want to be my next kind of great work? What do I want to look back in 10 years and know I accomplished? And when I looked at what I was doing at the time, I was thinking, I don't know. I don't know that these projects are going to take me there. I don't know that I want to do these things in 10 years and invest that time in them. So with soda tasting, you know, I love soda, but I wanted to hit other fitness goals, and 10 years from now, I wanted to be in a different place. So I was thinking, do I want to invest more time in this show, even though it's gaining traction? I mean, if I kept going on and now, I'd be into the millions of views, tens of thousands of subscribers on YouTube. It was a successful show. But I didn't want to do that 10 years from now. And the copyright podcast, for example, I don't work in copyright. I'm well-versed on it, and I think it's good to have a healthy knowledge of it in my industry and even in your industry, and most people who work in some sort of creative industry should have a working knowledge of it. But it's not where I'm going to be. So what I really want to do is focus on one particular great project if I can, and I'm entrepreneurial. I'll always have other things in the fire. But so to do that, though, I need to cut away. I need to get rid of everything I was doing. So it took a lot of time to step away from all those projects, to close them correctly, to archive them, not just to disappear. And so I've been working on that up until probably summer of this year, and kind of to free myself up to my next opportunity, which could very well mean that I will take a job somewhere, and I've been talking to different companies about opportunities, but it's got to be the right one, and I'm excited to be able to do that, or at least to commit to something big that I can be a part of a team that can hit a home run rather than just trying to do something myself.
You know, I think in life it's easy to get comfortable no matter what you're doing, even if you don't necessarily like it. And not to say you didn't like what you're doing, but even if you're at a bad job that you don't like, it's much easier to not make a change than it is to actually say, you know what, this isn't working, I need to change. So a lot of respect for what you did, and I think you did it on a pretty big level, because like you said, I mean, did you say you were managing almost 20 sites just
at one time,
years ago?
More than 20, yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's important to know, it's not just managing a site, but you're actually, the majority of your sites are communities.
These were like SEO article sites or something, you know?
Yeah.
Gotta be clear on that, like it wasn't some great content, it wasn't a spam blog. I mean, there were some sites that were not necessarily needing to be updated all the time, but we're talking about like 6, 7, 8 online communities, 3 or 4 blogs on top of that.
Plus other websites. There's
a lot going on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it all takes time. Yeah.
So what I think a lot of people, and this is, I get asked this question a lot, like, how can I get into doing like WordPress full time? Like, I really, my passion's WordPress. My day job has nothing to do with WordPress. How can I do it? What did you do and what can I do? And I think it's easy for us to say, just do it. Like, just do it, you know, make the plunge. Right. But it's much harder to actually take that first step. So what was it that changed in you? Like, I'm sure this is, and going if you're with your post, it's something you've been thinking about, but how long were you considering it? And what was that? Was there a trigger, or was there a series of events that you said, you know what, this is happening, and I'm going to start making a plan to execute on?
I mean, I've been thinking about it for years. I mean, I think that's fair to say. It seems weird to say that, because it's like, well, why didn't you do something? Why didn't you do something years ago? But, you know, it's not easy, like you said, to make a change. And, of course, I like the things that I'm doing. I don't hate doing the Copyright 2.0 show. I don't hate managing these other sites I was managing. I enjoyed it. But you spread yourself out so thin, and it's tough to do something really great. And I think that was one of the things that pushed me. I wrote a book. I was fortunate enough to write a book that's very well received and has, you know, influenced a lot of community professionals in that space. And I've been able to help people get jobs. I've been able to help people do a lot of things in their lives. And that was a great work. You know, what is the next work I'm going to be proud of? And how can I open myself up to the opportunity? I have some ideas myself for a startup or something really focused that I would like to do. But then I start to look at different opportunities and different jobs, and I think, you know what, for the first time, maybe I'd like to go try that and work for someone else. And I don't know if I'm going to do that 100% or not. We'll see. Like I said, I've talked about some opportunities with people. Nothing's matched up just yet. But, you know, there's definitely some interest, and I think I'd like the change of pace. I mean, I'm hungry for that type of change where it's a total kind of scenery change, where just my day-to-day changes, where I can get a taste of something different. And, you know, I really think that will be interesting and fun to do, and maybe I won't like it. You know, maybe I'll commit to a few years of working at some startup or working on some project, and then I just will decide it's not for me, or I prefer to go back to being an entrepreneur. Nothing is forever, but I just feel like there's more out there, and I want to be a part of it. And, you know, being in community as long as I have, I think that's where I want to stay. It's not that I'm getting out of community, but I want to be a part of something great and help empower whatever that great idea is and be a part of the team that really takes it to the next level.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, you know, it's definitely got to be a little bit scary going from kind of what you're doing, this role of, you know, site. Do we call them webmasters anymore? We don't, do we? Like,
it's around.
What do you call it? Managing these sites and managing not just the site and the uptime, but also managing the community and growing the community. To go into where you're actually, you know, actively looking and talking to some companies, actually work at a company, like you said, or a startup, that's going to be a little bit scary, because that's going to be a definite change of pace for what you're used to. You're used to, I'm sure, probably setting your own schedule, having a lot of flexibility. And my guess is there will still be some flexibility, probably not nearly as much as you're used to. How have you gotten past that? And obviously, you're kind of still in that, like you said, you haven't started a position. You're still kind of in that exploratory and talking to some companies. So it hasn't happened yet. But, you know, what steps are you taking to kind of prepare yourself for that change? Because that will be a significant change.
Yeah, and I'm really looking for a particular type of opportunity. So briefly, I'm looking for the right company, the right people, character people, you know, a company I like, a product I'm excited about. My job is going to be community related. It has to represent authority and advancement. So I'm looking at higher end community roles, director of community, VP community, chief community officer, if I can get it. Those sorts of high end roles where it's executive level or near. You know, we're talking about smaller companies. So obviously, you know, being the CEO of a 10-person company is different from being the CEO of a 1,000-person company. But you know, those higher end roles where my experience is respected and I'm able, and those roles come with some flexibility usually. I am looking for some flexibility for sure, just in how I work, where I work, when I work, you know, the more the better. You know, you're right, I'm going to give up a lot here. I'm going to give up, that's a trade-off. I'm giving that up to be a part of a great team. But still, more and more you hear about flexible workspaces and, you know, I don't have to be in the office 5 days a week, 6 days a week. I can work from home. I can work from anywhere. I can travel. So I definitely want that to be a part of it. And I wanted my speaking and writing to be an asset. And so, you know, as I put that out there, I've had some opportunities come my way, 3 opportunities in particular. And, you know, they were all interesting. I mean, one was with a company I love, and everything was there. They were willing to do the flexibility part, really, and do a lot of things, but the seniority wasn't there. I really feel a duty to my profession. Community is a discipline unto itself. Community is a profession, is a role, engaging, customers, engaging the community around your product or brand. It's a real thing. It's not something that's going to go away. So I want to work somewhere that understands and respects that and puts me in a position to lead a department or to start the first community department and really be in charge of it and not have to report to marketing or be under marketing control. So they were willing to give me that. Another role was with a startup that's pre-seed, going for a seed round. Interesting product. I wasn't passionate enough about it. I just wasn't passionate enough about what they were selling. So I said no. And the other thing I'm talking about, I have a third opportunity I'm looking at right now that I'm really excited about. We'll see what happens. They're interested. I'm interested. It would be kind of a startup, early startup, but it has huge potential. And, I haven't agreed to anything yet, but I'm open to hearing other opportunities. But I'm excited about it and look forward to seeing how that progresses.
Well, I'm excited for you, man. I mean, I think it's pretty cool to see you kind of taking the step and I really respect it when they can step back and really look outside, kind of looking in at themselves and really kind of say, look, what I'm doing works. I could sit here and keep doing this. However, I want to do something different. I want to challenge myself. I want to go a different direction. And to actually take the steps towards executing that. And not only have you done that, but you've been sharing the story, which has been fun. On this show, on other shows, and also on your blog over at patrickokeefe.com. Definitely I would recommend anyone that's curious about Patrick's story, maybe even thinking about their own kind of story, where they're going to go to read your I'm Hungry for Change post, because I think it really spells out like your thought process around this, which I think is pretty cool.
Thanks, man.
Doing things that you still like to doing more that you like, but kind of doing different angles. So, I definitely have to ask about the podcast thing. So a couple things you stepped away from, or stepped down from, I should say. Soda Tasting, like you said, and that was your show. It was like a one-man show, and you stopped doing that. It's been a few months. It's been a while now, right?
It's been more than a year.
More than a year. Oh, wow. Time flies. Time flies. And just recently, you wrapped up your last episode that you were a host on of the Copyright 2.0 show about a month ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And anyone that's listening that maybe isn't familiar with Patrick and I's history, we go way back in the SitePoint world, almost 15 years, I think, at this point. And we actually started the SitePoint podcast together. So my first kind of break into podcasting, other than just playing around with it and not releasing stuff, was with Patrick on the SitePoint podcast. So we have a history around podcasting and like tech and whatever it may be. So I got to know, man, like, right now you're off the air, and I don't like that. So what's next? When are you going to get back behind the show? You got anything in the works or any plans? Or
I've been thinking about it, man. And we talked before the show. I've done, I think it was 625 podcasts that I've hosted, not that I've appeared on, just ones that I have personally hosted, and the SitePoint podcast was a big part of that. And actually, before the SitePoint podcast, I'd only done 27. So that gives you an idea of how far, I guess, we've all come. I love doing podcasts. I love doing video shows. And, the right idea, the right topic, I'd start one again. We talked about pivoting Soda Tasting. Like, that's the real thing I was thinking about, is pivoting Soda Tasting into seltzer, because I love it and I drink it. But I would love to be a part of a show where it could take me to a new audience, or a show that really had potential to be great and to be big and to be influential and to get an audience. I think that was the thing that was cool about the SitePoint podcast, was at the end we had an audience. It was 5,000 odd people every week downloading the show. We had built something. So, I'd like to expand outside the web development niche, though, and do something a little more, I don't want to say mainstream, but I've done Soda stuff, copyright stuff, web development, community management, etc. And I just enjoy hosting, and so I thought about doing a talk show or having guests on. I know a lot of different people, and, I've interviewed celebrities before and all that stuff, so I can handle all of that. But, yeah, I'd love to do something. It's just finding the right idea and finding the time that I want to actually invest in. Because every time, and I'll say this here, but we talked about it before the show, every time I get offered something small, which is awesome. I love hearing about every opportunity. But, like, I got offered to host a podcast. It was a couple hundred dollars an episode, right? And, it was interesting enough to me, but the show wasn't one I could see myself growing much in or picking up much benefit outside of that cash. And the money is nice, but I'm investing this time every week. And again, it goes back to that 10-year thing. 10 years from now, do I want to host this show? And it's not the answer. So do I want to invest the time in something I'm going to be into for a couple of years? Because I've been in too many other projects. So I'm really thinking about stuff that I can do long-term and help really make successful and be a part of.
Yeah, and that's a good point. I mean, I know we both really enjoyed the SitePoint podcast. I know for me personally, it really got me into really just enjoying the idea of podcasting and kind of, talking about things I'm passionate about. At the time, it was kind of more of a broad web technology and just web. Now it's a little more focused, obviously, around WordPress, but it really got me into it where I'm like, this is fun. I want to keep doing this. But you're right. There's a certain point where you get so invested in something, the show, and your time, and it's like if you don't actually have any control over the direction and then what's going to happen with the show and how you grow it in the audience and who, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not.
Yeah.
At some point, you're going to hit that wall where you're like, all right, it's probably time for me to move on. And that, you know, that's kind of why we ended up here, because now we're doing the Dradcast with Dre. And it's, you know, Dre and I's show, and we can kind of help guide the future. If we want to do something different, we'll do something different. You know, it's kind of fun because we can do what we want, which is, at the end of the day,
it worked, too. It was your big recruitment tool to get Dre over to WebDev Studios. So, I mean, the big,
the
elaborate
plan, the long con.
Scheme, it worked out. You know, it was a long play. I doubted it at some point. When you first told me about the idea, I doubted it. But you know what? You were committed, and it worked.
You gotta respect the long con, man. That's how it goes.
Very persistent he is.
Oh, man. But, yeah, it's pretty cool. So there's another topic I want to get into, and it kind of overlays a little bit of what you spoke about earlier around these kind of the idea of a community department within a company, just one person, like just having a kind of a department dedicated to community. And you sent me an interesting email. You always send me interesting emails, Patrick, but this was definitely a good one. That it was right after we had Kevin Dees host the show, and when Kevin was on, if just to fill anyone in that maybe didn't listen to the show, shame on you. You can go back and listen to it in the archives. We talked a little bit around kind of the idea of support, specifically around products. Like, product support is a tricky one. Whether it's a paid product or a free product, doesn't matter. We're just talking about support. It's a very tricky thing to do, and a very time-consuming thing to do. You sent me an email kind of talking about the idea of, you know, supporting products and then the idea of kind of community around products, which I think is really interesting. And there's a lot of products within the WordPress space that have communities around the products. Now, I'm not talking about the WordPress community. I'm talking about the community around the product for WordPress. You sent me this email. You said, at some point, WordPress companies have to hire real high-level community people and build a community department to help facilitate and kind of grow these communities. So I thought it was a really interesting point. It's not something I'd really even considered. I would bet that a lot of companies that have products or freelancers, whatever they're doing, probably haven't really thought about that. The idea of people know they kind of need a community to help make a product successful. It's a pretty important part. But not a lot of people really actively even understand what they should be doing to facilitate that. So maybe we can kind of talk through some of the points in your email.
Sure.
Because it's very interesting. So where do you start? Like, maybe just kind of break it down. What's this idea of this community department, you know, around a product, whatever it may be? It doesn't have to be WordPress specific, just a product. You know, what is this community department? What kind of things can they do to start growing a community around their product?
Well, I mean, this is a WordPress podcast, so I'll tackle it from that perspective. I think that, you know, there's a lot of WordPress companies out there, and that target different needs. A lot of products, obviously, are sold targeted to WordPress. And I think when people get overwhelmed with the community or answering questions or dealing with the community and problems they have, I think a lot of them turn into Steve Ballmer. Developers, 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 developers. And, you know, I love developers, but there are other people that you can bring in, can help you deal with that overload. It can help you deal with the noise that your community creates. And, you know, people who are not just thinking about answering questions, but are thinking about how the questions are answered, how that information can be facilitated so that people can help each other more efficiently, and so that these answers you have are going into resources that can educate your customers so they don't have to ask the same question over and over again. And, you know, community, a big part of community these days for a lot of companies is customer success. And I think it makes a ton of sense for products, WordPress products especially, but if you look at something like Shopify, a great example is the Shopify e-commerce university. ecommerce.shopify.com. And, you know, Shopify's community is people who sell things using Shopify. And so these are business people, and they develop this great resource where they essentially give you, let's say, a college-level education on using Shopify. And then they have support forums, of course, and they have other things. But they built this great resource where basically everyone who uses the product is brand new, instantly can become an expert. They instantly get the knowledge everyone else has. And I think that's a great leg up for anyone who has a product, especially that's based upon revenue generation. Because at the end of the day, your product, Shopify, is going to be judged in some way based upon how much they sell and how successful they are with your product. And if you don't help them get from point A to point B, then they're going to think it's your fault. They're going to blame you for it instead of themselves, even though it's really maybe their problem and not putting in the effort. So I think that, you know, when it comes to community WordPress products, you have the idea of answering questions, but then you have the idea of everyone who's loving, using, engaging around your product and how you can more efficiently, you know, empower that engagement. So a lot of people think about forums. That's a good example. Sure, people talk in forums. Those forums require management. But I think look at education as a part of this whole kind of thing of how community can help your company is building these educational resources out of the community and out of the community contributions. It sounds simple, but it actually can be quite involving, quite a big deal to continually have this series of best practices continually updated. So, I mean, that's one part of it, customer success. Obviously, there's a community on your website like forums. Community offsite and offline, you know, WordCamps obviously are a big part of the WordPress community. I think coordinating how people interact offline is a big part of it. And then if you're a company like Web Dev Studios, for example, you know, you're working with people who are launching communities. I'm sure you've been asked about community once over the last however many years. And then people want some ideas of how to should it work. And if you have someone in-house who you can pull from to provide that knowledge and information, that, you know, makes you a lot stronger than it would be just saying, oh, we're all in WordPress, we all understand community. Not quite.
Well, I think we do. And I think that the challenge there is that we don't maybe take advantage of those things that are happening within the WordPress community, because everything you just talked about right now, I think, are the staples that have helped build WordPress into what it is today. But I think from a business standpoint, we're in right. a maturation period now. We're not 10, 20 years into this yet. I mean, I think that it's so young yet that we're still trying to find how we build those communities. What you just talked about makes sense. How do we bridge what we've done as a community to build WordPress into these business scenarios so we're right. not reinventing the wheel? It's already there. I mean, there is a blueprint already, right?
Yeah, I mean, there is, and you use WordPress as an example. I think WordPress .org.
Right, .org. I mean,
would, you know, I'm not saying it for you. I'm saying it for myself, just to put myself in the right mental state. .org. I think if you look at you know, the resources they have on this site, how those resources are curated. Obviously, the community, the people that are participating in the forums, they're required 5% or otherwise, are helping others and building that community of WordPress and helping people to be successful with the product. Which, at the end of the day, if people can't make WordPress work, it doesn't matter if it's a 5-minute installation. If they can't make it work, they blame the tool and they move on. It doesn't matter how simple this installation might be. It's never simple enough for this one person, and they'll be in WordPress and move on. So I think, you know, for companies, I think it starts in recognizing the value that community can offer and having an actual hiring someone to be the first community hire at your company. More and more with startups outside of the WordPress world, you know, I see community hires within the first 10, 15 employees, even within the first 5 sometimes, because the way these products stand out is by engaging with the community and being very active.
How do you manage that? How do you manage the value there, right? Because even if you step into traditional marketing or even the marketing right. that we see now as companies are on the internet and in tech, it's a very challenging thing to see the tangible things that come from marketing. And oftentimes the metrics and the business maybe mathematics to really engage and feel like this is I'm seeing a return on my investment is mm-hmm. challenging to see. Now yeah. we're stepping into a whole new realm. I mean, community, how do you gauge that value? How do you gauge the return on investment there?
So it's important to, I think, at some point to accept that there are things you can measure and things you can't, right?
Okay.
So it's tough to say this person was helped in our community and they love it so much they told someone to register and sign up for their product and use the product, and that's another customer. You can't really measure that. There are things you can measure. I think there are certain circumstances where, let's say you do have a product, and you have people who do use your community, and you have people who don't. So you can take a sampling of the people who use your product. If it is, I'm going to use Shopify as an example because they're a good example. But
yeah,
you know,
that's
Shopify can tell you, so this is how much people make that don't use the e-commerce universe. This is the sampling of 100, a sampling of 1,000. They make on average. And here's a sampling from the community and how much they make. So do the people in the community make less? If they do, then maybe it's not worth it. But I'm sure they have their own metrics that they can see where the people who are using the community, because it's all tied in. They have the logins, they have the email address, so they can tie the account to the person in the community and see that people in the community are more successful or are less successful. So I think that's one kind of data point. It's tough with a WordPress product where people pay for the product up front to kind of gauge how much of the community is powering that, because, I mean, the simple fact is that people gravitate toward products that are well-supported. So how do you exactly calculate the value of that. If you have a popular plugin, you have a popular plugin, and you know this one is better supported, chances are you go to that one. Now, how much can you attribute? You can develop some sort of model. You can divide it into different ways. How this is worth this, this is worth this, this is worth this. But inherently, a product that is better supported offers more value and is more attractive. So at some point, you have to accept that. But you know, there are some things that you can measure directly from the community as well.
Well, I just think that looking at folks that maybe take a traditional route, it's going to be challenging for them to go and maybe be driven towards buying into the whole community thing and investing there. If there's no real tangible way to measure a return, I've seen it. I've seen that just through marketing in the startup world. It's like, well, you know, we're investing in our support. We're investing in the product and the development there. And certainly we're engaging in the community to an extent and so on. But I don't want to go spend an exorbitant amount of money on the marketing piece because I'm not understanding what that return is. How do I correlate that to an increase in sales and conversions, right? Like that's a big deal. If I'm able to calculate how that translates into that next sale or brand value, that then I'm probably more apt to put money into it, right?
Right. Yep, you are correct. I think it is a tough thing. There are models out there. You know, I don't want to get too far into the whole community speak. You know, there are models out there for measuring the value of the community. But, you know, it's one of those things where it can be tough to measure the value in some cases. And, you know, even the people who, if you ever have someone, community professional, come to you and tell you that everything can be measured, it's tough to trust that because everything can be measured, especially in community. But I think if you never invest anything, you never can experiment. And I think everything has to start with that initial experiment, the initial investment, of having one person who manages it. And then they can document a success story. They can document these stories from your community of people who have been a part of that resource and have made more money or have been more successful. And then you build up your own source of ROI and your own dossier of all these success stories and things.
Well, and you just hit it on the head, right?
So I think you also have to tie. You can also tie it into overall revenue as well a little bit, as noticing upticks in revenue as a part of that as well. You start engaging with the community when you never had before.
I would say that there is a way to measure it all. It just isn't a traditional way of measuring it.
Right.
It's possibly going to be different for everybody. But I would say that there's always, and the end game is to figure out what that measurement is. But I would argue that there will always be some way to measure the success of whether it's community engagement, marketing, or what have you. So very, very interesting.
Yeah, my friend Ted Sinsinski, he headed marketing for Beats Music, Monster Products. He brought Jenny Craig into kind of internet marketing.
Sure.
And he's written a fair amount about this because he also launched online communities like scubaboard.com, which is the largest community for scuba divers. You know, and the idea of multi-attribution marketing, because it's not, you know, it's how do you measure the everything that happens between the sale and the click? Like, how do you measure someone who goes away?
Sure.
And there's all these ways to do it, and of course, if someone clears their cookies, some of those ways break. But I think, you know, the idea is that it's there's models out there, but those models are probably best used to forecast to the whole sample, to the overall community as a whole, rather than being seen as the whole picture, if that makes sense.
Certainly does.
Yeah, I think...
what were you going to say?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, this community, because there are products out there that have pretty big communities within themselves, you know? Like, I look at products like a Genesis or a Gravity Form.
Or like a Woo Theme.
A Woo Themes, like these big, heavy-hitting products that have been around for a while. They have a huge kind of audience. I think it's easy to say, like to your point, Dre and Patrick, it's easy to say when you're looking to hire someone to help develop that community, well, where's the value? Just as easy as it is to say, well, look at the value with the community they have around Genesis. That's worth a lot, you know, because they basically don't even have to market that product anymore. Everybody that uses it, all the developers that build with it, they're all marketing it for them. So they don't have to spend a dollar on marketing at this point. They're still the number one theme framework out there. Really, because...
There's a great article that I'll send people to, so I don't have to kind of go over the whole thing, but there's an article on the Next Web called Why the ROI of Community Doesn't Actually Matter by Sarah Judd Webb, and or Sarah Judd Welsh. And, you know, look that article up. Her point isn't that ROI doesn't matter. She links to places where ROI has been established in communities that'll be interesting for people to read through. But she kind of has an interesting overall point as far as the whole picture, so give that article a read.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll definitely we'll get that in our show notes, too, so anybody listening
can pull that up.
That would be great. Very interesting topic for sure. One big thing in this community, man, that's like the key word today. One big thing in the WordPress world is the community. And I think almost anyone that's been around WordPress for any amount of time quickly realizes that. That is, it's a very open community, a very warm community. And I think a lot of that obviously goes back to the open source nature of the project. So community is a big deal for everyone. It's very, very passionate because we do community. So it's great to hear from the expert on online communities, Mr. Patrick O'Keefe, and his ideas around that. Pretty cool stuff. But for everybody listening, if you want to check out more on Patrick's post around that, you can check out his website or his blog, managingcommunities.com. He has some really good articles on there. I would definitely recommend subscribing. You pump out content pretty regularly around communities, so you can definitely pick up some good tidbits. But with that, it is probably time to move on to this week's pressing topics.
Word. Pressing. Topics of the week.
Oh, man. It seems like the last three or four episodes, we've been talking in some facet or another around WordPress-specific hosting. It just keeps happening. It's a growing world. I think that there's been, companies that have come and gone, but the ones that have been the staple since the beginning. The guys that have found it, the guys that have grown it, the guys that have took an investment and really impacted the way that business in general has grown around WordPress and the WordPress space. One of those companies, and really the forefront, the leader that really engaged and brought managed WordPress hosting into the space, Pagely. Holy cow, Brad, they're at 5 years already as a company and growing. In fact, they're experiencing what looks to be their biggest growth period since the inception of the company. It's exciting enough to see, and we know Josh and Sally over there, they've done a great job over the years. They've started a conference that, part three of this whole thing's going down in January with Pressnomics, but they've done a really good job of growing this company. Now they've rebranded and reestablished themselves, I think, as forefront players in the managed hosting space. How's this bode for them? I mean, they're still bootstrapped. They've taken that road. They've chosen it. They've been very vocal and transparent about that. Are they going to be able to compete long term with the big boys that have maybe put a little bit of money in their pocket to see or maybe bring forth rapid growth? Where do they go?
I don't. It's interesting. They've definitely grown a lot over the years, and I just outside looking in, I've seen them all over the place in the past year. A lot of people talking about them. A lot of people migrating their sites over. A lot of community members that we're friends with moving over to Pagely. So it's definitely been noticeable, even not knowing these stats on their growth, that they have grown quite a bit. I don't know, and I could be totally off base, but I don't know if they're trying to compete with the big boys in the sense of going after like the GoDaddies or the big hosts, the dream hosts. I think they're in a very good space where they're at. They're over the original. They have a great, pretty large user base. And they're growing. So I think they're doing really well.
I just recommended someone use Pagely the other day. It was actually in public on CardiForums.com because a member of the community wrote an article, "Why My Martial Arts School Doesn't Have a Website." And he doesn't, his case is that he doesn't need one, and there's organizational issues that cause it, and I get it. And if not everyone has to have a website. Like it's not a universal truth, but I basically made the case of why that isn't a good way to look at it, and I mentioned, what I'd encourage most people to do is, budget some money, a few thousand dollars, find a good WordPress designer, and pay them to make a website for you. And, you can get an awesome website for a few thousand dollars from a good designer. You're not going to get anything for $200, but you need to budget a few thousand dollars to get someone's attention that knows what they're doing. And then I said, as far as ongoing maintenance, use someone like Pagely. They'll take care of the updates of the software. It'll run. You won't have to worry about security. And they're priced consciously for that sort of market. At their lowest plan for their personal business plans are $24 a month, I should say, for one small site. And that will work perfect for most people. The way their pricing structure works makes sense. For a smaller company, for a small company like that.
Well, think about all the stuff that they take care of,
too. A lot of companies... Yeah, no, go ahead. You go ahead.
No, think about all the stuff that they take care of in that price point. That's all I was interested in.
Yeah, exactly. And that was my big thing with them, because I'm talking to someone who will not be able to update WordPress, okay? We talked about the 5-minute install. Doesn't matter.
Right.
It could be the 30-second install. It could be the 2-second install. It does not matter. So that they will keep the software up to date and manage that security experience for them is huge. And I looked at some other hosts that do that, and I'm not going to name names or anything, but the fact is that their pricing was not similar to Pagely, and I feel like they would have priced themselves out of that market, which is fine. They have a different market. Everyone has different markets. But Pagely, I felt, was value-conscious enough for that audience where, you know, they don't have it priced in a way that prohibits people that can't afford $500 a month or $300 a month. So I think Pagely's pricing is quite attractive and the way they do it as far as how they limit it based on site and not some really small number of like views or something like that. I don't know. I was looking at different hosts for different things, and I just felt theirs made the most sense, so that's why I mentioned it.
Let me read something real quick here, because it's really the foundation of where they're driving this and growing this and affording people that opportunity you just talked about, Bootstrap. And I find this hilarious, what they've written on their investor page. Not sure if you've seen it. It's linked in the article that we dropped off of Post Status. But check out their investor page. Meet our investors at Pagely. We call them customers, and we exist only to serve them. We enjoy treating our customers right and don't see them solely as cross-sell targets to boost our top line for a higher valuation in the next round. We actually turn a tidy profit and are not burning cash. We answer only to our customers and ourselves. Now that we have railed against the man appropriately to keep our street cred, if you're an investor and interested in speaking with us, please reach out so we can say no. That to me cracks me up. Now, you know, I haven't seen that direct approach too often, but damn it, hey, you got to give them some love for sticking to their guns there. They're doing it the artistic way, as I like to call it. Bootstrapped is certainly not a science, it's an art, and they seem to be doing it successfully. I give them kudos.
Yeah, I think there's a marketing aspect to that too. I mean, to put the cynical eye on it, you know, it's a smart thing to do. I think a lot of people don't trust the man, if you want to put it that way. They don't trust the big guy. You know, you mentioned big hosts. Well, a lot of people won't use big hosts because they don't like them. They can Google and find a million bad experiences with them. So to find a small dedicated host like this where they make you feel, or they explain that, you know, they look at you as a real person, you know, it's a strategic thing. And I think bootstrapping is a great way to go. I mean, I admire that they own the company. I mean, that they still have it in-house. There's another company like that, buysellads.com, who is a bootstrap. They're this, they do a lot of things, but it's around advertising for both publishers and advertisers. And, you know, he's grown it to 10, 12 employees now. They do really well, and they compete with big people like Google. But, you know, they've done really well, and he's bootstrapped it. The CEO, I know him, his name's Todd Garland. He used to work at HubSpot. And, you know, he's got a great company going, and it's bootstrapped. So I think if you can get that model going, I think different people have different goals. CommonCraft is another company that you might be familiar with. You know, the Paperworks videos, they call them. They explain things, explained by CommonCraft. You've definitely seen one of their videos if you haven't heard of them. And it's just a small husband and wife team. It's not Pagely, obviously, wants more. They want to grow more. But they know what they want to be, and so they created a business that supports that. And I think there's a lot to be said for that.
And they know how to market a bit. I think I'd be remiss to not mention that they've pushed into a bundle. I think this is with their whole rebranding piece with UpThemes. You should go check that out at upthemes.com/bundle. You get 50% off first 3 months of Pagely hosting. Pretty interesting. Real reason I brought it up is not to boast about Pagely, although I like them.
Well,
but more about AppPressor. AppPressor's rocking and rolling in this bundle too, and I got to give some love to AppPressor. 20% off that in the AppPressor store if you hook it up today. So it's running out of time. Make sure to go check that out. I think that we've got some news on our front, Brad, that we should probably talk about. We had a little bit of a release this week, didn't we?
Didn't hear about it. What happened?
I'm not quite sure.
I'll introduce it if you want. You know, I put
run with it, Patrick.
I'm the unaffiliated party.
The unbiased.
So, on Tuesday, WebDev Studios announced that they had acquired Maintain, the WordPress support and maintenance company, and brought Shane Sanderson back in house, former WebDev Studios employee. And, you know, I guess I'll just talk about it real quick, but there's a question I want to ask, knowing a little bit of the history, maybe more so than other people. But first, you know, why did you do this? Why did you do this?
That's a great question. So Shane used to work at WebDev Studios as a project manager. And one of the things that he oversaw was kind of our maintenance and support arm. One of the challenges we have, and I think a lot of larger shops and agencies run into, is it's two very different things working between large projects and kind of support and maintenance. Those are two very different animals to tackle, and to structure a company around it. It's very hard to be able to pivot from large, full-blown project to I got to run updates on a bunch of sites and, you know, fix a bunch of random bugs across sites. It's right. Just structure wasn't there. So over time, Shane fired up Maintain. We kind of started offloading a lot of that because it just wasn't working for us. And then at one point, Maintain got kind of doing very successful, and Shane had to make the decision to leave so that he could focus on that. Maintain friendships. In fact, we've done some partnerships in the past year where we're sending a lot of our smaller work through Maintain and a lot of our support. And now we've grown quite a bit since then, just in the past year. And now it kind of makes sense to bring that back in because we do have that need and it is growing. But we're kind of at a bigger size where it can kind of be its own department within Web Dev Studio. So rather than trying to pull resources from various projects to help with these random support bugs, we have a whole department, the Maintain department, that is going to handle that. So the last thing you want to do is build an amazing website for someone, launch it, and then a few months down the road, they may only have a few small adjustments. But for us to take that on is really challenging, and we don't want to tell our customers no. So this really helps us. We can kind of transition them to a department that is set up to work with the smaller requests, you know, the update in the sites, or maybe a couple bugs, or maybe, hey, help me install a plugin. We have it solely set up to help maintain that type of work. So very excited. They have an amazing team there. They've got a great company. We're really excited to bring them under the Web Dev Studios roof, so to speak.
So,
Dre, you got anything to add to that?
Yeah, Dre, go ahead.
You just hit it on the head. I mean, ultimately, it's an area that I think that any agency, any company should be concentrating on. If you're not really thinking through your whole software development lifecycle, from the moment you're scoping stuff into discovery, into the actual development, design, deployment of that, and then sustainment and maintenance, I think you're doing a disservice not only to yourself, but any of the customers, the clients that you're bringing on board. So that is certainly one of our focuses and something that we want to continue to build on. This made perfect sense. It was just a really, really clean fit just the vibe, the working relationship that we have with the Maintain team, and the need that we're filling there. I mean, the return on investment for them, as it is with us, was pretty it's top notch from the get go. So it made a lot of sense, and I'm excited to see where this continues to grow.
Yeah, and when you charge someone for a particular service, and that's the whole revenue base, it's easier to measure. But so here's what I wanted to bring up. So a member of my family is a Maintain customer, and they were first a Web Dev Studios customer before you stopped doing kind of lower level maintenance work, I want to say, updating WordPress, lower cost pricing. And I sent them to you because, well, you. And they had used you for a while, but then I got an email one day saying you were getting out of that business. You weren't going to be able to support that anymore, and here's Maintain. So you kind of recommended Maintain. They went over there. They have a good pricing plan in place. They're happy with that, their services. Now they're coming back. So at one point, you didn't view that business as, let's say, terribly important, right? I mean, but then Maintain went away and kind of built this great business, and now you're bringing it back in-house. Is it fair to say that Shane has kind of made, by focusing on maintenance, he made a really good independent business that you then found attractive?
I'll speak for Brad for a moment. You can beat me up here, Brad, if I'm speaking out of tune here. But I think that it was always attractive. I think it was always something of importance, but maybe timing, resources, and the stage that the overall organization and the core services being offered by WebDev wasn't in a position to support that at the level that maybe they wanted to engage in. So it was something that was pushed off, but I don't think that there was any difference in the maybe the appetite for bringing that in-house or being able to support that in-house. It just maybe timing wasn't appropriate.
This goes back to November of 2012, pre-Dre at WDS. So it goes back a
bit
that they've been using.
Well, remember, I was working security with him at the time as well as part of these engagements.
Right.
So I certainly remember the time.
I mean, a lot of it, you got to remember, at the time that Maintain started, WDS was probably around 10, maybe 12 employees. Total, not, I mean, so actually that includes the partners. So we're much smaller. Now we're over 30, so we've grown a lot. So it certainly was something I always knew there was a need for that, for sure. Right. Like I said, we always launch sites. There's always kind of this smaller, not, you know, the bugs and the stuff that settle, we obviously cover after post-launch. But then, you know, long-term, 2-3 months out, they want a new plugin installed, they want a new feature, they need some help. It's right. hard for us to get that in. It's hard for us to issue an invoice for $100, focusing on much larger enterprises. So we weren't able to give the support that I felt was at the level it should be to have our name on it. And that's kind of when we made the decision, you know what, I don't think this is working for us at the size we're at. And we're always trying to pull people off projects to kind of supplement to do that stuff, which wasn't fair to the customer because they shouldn't be second to what we were doing, right? They are the customer. They should be first. So now that we're larger, now that we have this dedicated team, we don't have to worry about pulling people. We have a team that's all they're going to do, which is exactly what Shane built, maintain. It's the maintain team. So to your point, it's definitely something that we've always valued. It was just hard to grow and keep scaling that and still provide the support that we felt, you know, the level of support that we felt these customers deserved. And we still know they deserve that. So that's kind of where it was, like, to Dre's point, it was just timing, I think, for the most part, of where we're at sidewise and where we're at now. It's a great business.
Yeah, and at the time, it fell off. Like, too. I'm sorry. Sorry, you cut off for a second, so I thought you stopped. Yeah.
No, that was it.
It almost felt like a spinning off at the time. Almost Maintain was spinning off to be with this, and now it's coming back in-house. So I think it's back, always
been good. Well, we are in-house, and we're about to spin it off today, and we're going to spin it off into this week's Bartrix.
Let me show you a Bartrix.
All right. Well, go ahead and kick it off there, Mr. Patrick.
Well, I'm going to highlight a website called fitnessblender.com. And, you know, Brad, I know, you know, a while back you committed to exercising a lot, tweeting about it. You exercise a lot. I don't know about you, Dre. I don't know what your fitness routine. You don't tweet about it like Brad does, I don't think.
Yeah, Mr. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu over here. He actually
If you followed me on Facebook, for sure you'll see a lot of jiu-jitsu discussion.
We're not friends on Facebook, but there you go. So this website, I really like it because they have a ton of great, high-quality workout videos, all different kinds, and they have a really smart website, and it's free to access the videos. The search is what I really like. They have kind of a really granular search where you can say, okay, I have this equipment, and show me a workout, or I have this equipment and this time, and I want to work out this hard. Show me the workouts. And I really like how they did it. And I want to mention this also because, as luck would have it, I shared this website, and Stephen C. Graves, who used to co-host the SciPoint podcast with me and Brad, his college employer, this is his brother-in-law. So it was a small world. I shared it up there. And
that's funny.
Yeah, it's like Stephen says, that's my college employer's brother-in-law. So, you know, it's kind of got that small world vibe to it. But if you're looking for, like, new workout routines or anything, or like I was looking for a new routine, and I find the videos help me with pacing as far as starting and stopping and taking the appropriate breaks. I really like this website. So if you're into that at all, check it out, fitnessblender.com.
Very cool. That's pretty neat, cool. Man.
Definitely got to bookmark this one.
Awesome. It's in our show notes, folks. We'll make sure to get that out to you. Bradford, where are you at, big brother?
Oh, man, I got the newest and the hottest startup going on right now. So it's a website called introducingcarrot.com, and it's all about carrots designed with you in mind. It's seamless experience, meticulously crafted from beginning to end. It's not just a vegetable. It's what a vegetable should be. So you need to go to Introducing Carrot. You need to check out this new startup. They've got a pretty interesting idea here. I don't know if it'll catch on or not, but it's clever. It's clever for sure, and watch the video. You'll get a chuckle out of it. Introducing Carrot.
I feel like I'm an angel in this, angel investor. I feel like I was there pre-seed. I eat a lot of carrots.
It's all good right. stuff. What do you my got bar- there, Dre?
Hey, my bar trick's simple. I'm gonna have to give a bar trick out to colorware.com. It is a company that customizes different things like headphones, like covers for your iPhone, and even laptops. I'm going to post a video into the show notes. I decided to go ahead and get one, And this is what you end up with, folks. I got a Web Dev Studios laptop done. Nice. And this is actually the end cover. This is a matte black all the way on the outside, orange trim, which is the Web Dev orange, and orange in the inside. So what you end up with is a freaking fully custom laptop and a lit up logo on the back. So I'm pretty excited about this.
Wow.
I ended up with a MacBook Pro, and this thing is just badass. I'm going to close with that. Go over to colorware.com if you're interested. It's not cheap, but certainly, wow, you take it out of the box, and it's just mind-blowing how gorgeous this thing is. Really, really cool. So there we have it. It's been a hell of an episode. I want to talk about events real quick. We've got a few coming up in short order. WordCamp Baltimore coming up October 18th. We've got Brad Williams from this crew going to be there. Unfortunately, I'm not going to make it. But it should be a good event. San Francisco coming up October 23rd through the 25th with the summit following that week. WordCamp Toronto, I'll be heading up north of the border November 15th through the 16th. WordCamp Las Vegas, a month later, the 13th through the 14th. Pressnomics 3 coming January 22nd through the 24th. Ticket sales have ended. If I'm not mistaken, they're sold out. But we will be there in the house. WebDev will be there in the house. Little drag cast for that ass. Let's get it in. I'm talking about some awesome time in January in Arizona. There will be some trips over to Santan. Patrick, it's always a blessing to have you on the show. I can't wait to have you on for number 3. Where can people find you? Where should people locate you? Twitter, websites? What's the best place for people to get a hold of you?
Thank you guys for having me for a second time. Always a pleasure. And you can find me at managingcommunities.com, patrickokeefe.com. I'm Patrick O'Keefe on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, LinkedIn. So, and even Elo, if you're still over there.
Elo!
So,
yeah.
You can find me at Patrick O'Keefe. Thanks, guys.
Pleasure. Bradford, what's the dealio, yo?
Oh, man, you can find me on Twitter, WilliamsBA. I'm on Elo, but I don't know. I'm like just friends with Patrick, so yeah. I don't know. I need more friends, I guess. I don't get it, but I'm on it. Williams BA there too.
Love it. And I'm at Dre Maida. Hundreds of businesses crop up daily, and even more fail in the same time frame. Those that survive don't go at it alone. The founders don't go at it alone, and they find a way to build community. Those that don't end up finding it tough to gain adoption, or at least a longer lead time to get their audience to peak. You may have a badass service or product and even a killer sales team, but if they don't engage your community and build an army of evangelists, the climb up that hill gets pretty damn steep. So if you're in a business or thinking about it, take to heart when I tell you it's a lot easier if you open your doors to the world and empower your audience. It truly does take a village, or in our case, a community. For the Rad and Dread, I'm the Doctor. Thanks for joining us on episode 62 with Patrick O'Keefe. We're out, baby. Booyah!
Booyah! There you have it, folks, the latest edition of the Dradcast. If you dig the show, make sure you pass it on. If you have content for the show, want to submit to be a guest host, or just want to listen to older episodes, visit the Dradcast website at dradcast.com. While you're there, make sure you click the iTunes subscribe link to catch us on iTunes.
Don't forget to follow at Dradcast on Twitter, and we thank you for tuning in.
Join Dre and Brad plus a new guest host next week.
Yes!
On another episode of the Dradcast. Drag.